as Christians, we are not always sure how to relate to or understand the Ten Commandments. Perhaps we think of them as a moral framework or a type of ethical system. Certainly, as we think about the Ten Commandments, we understand that some of them are very important. While we do not commit murder, as it says in the Ten Commandments, we might at the same time ignore keeping the Sabbath, or we might on occasion take the Lord's name in vain. If the Ten Commandments are for us an ethical system, it seems we don't give each commandment equal weight. The Book of Common Prayer considers the Ten Commandments important enough to include them, giving them the name the Decalogue. I think this suggests not only their importance, but how we consider each of the ten to be of equal weight. If we were not living in pandemic times, we would each Sunday in Lent be celebrating the Eucharist, and the liturgy would open with the singing or the reciting of the Decalogue. This is a centuries-old venerable Anglican tradition for Lent, and I think it suggests the importance of the Ten Commandments for us. Using the Decalogue during Lent can be an edifying practice. It can offer us a time to examine the ways that we fall short of the life of holiness to which God calls us. Reflecting on the Ten Commandments helps us see where we need to repent, to let go and return to God, and to accept God's forgiveness. The Ten Commandments are for us, I think, not so much a list of moral imperatives as they are a call to a way of life, to the life that God intends for us. The Decalogue elaborates the covenant that God made with the people of Israel. We heard last week in our scripture readings how God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. God called Abraham to leave his homeland, to be led by God to another land. And God promises Abraham and Sarah that they will have many descendants, that from them a multitude will arise. After God frees the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, God leads them through the Red Sea to freedom, and they begin a long 40-year journey in the wilderness. Early in their wilderness time, Moses goes up Mount Sinai and receives the tablets of the Ten Commandments. The commandments describe how that covenant first made with Abraham, that covenant made between God and the people of Israel, is to be ordered. It provides a structure to their common life. In being bound to God by the covenant, they are in effect set free to live as God's people. The biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says about the Ten Commandments, and I quote, "These commands might be taken not as a series of rules, but as a proclamation in God's own mouth of who God is and how God shall be practiced by this community of liberated slaves," unquote. Brueggemann is reminding us that the commandments are actually a gift to the people, that they form the people, the community, into a people. They now are not slaves, but they are God's people. And the commandments are a call to them for a practice, for a way of life, for walking in holiness, just as God is holy. They are the path to abundant life that God intends for the people. The Ten Commandments are written by God on those two stone tablets, and one tablet concerns humanity's relationship with God. The other tablet, our relationship with our neighbors. Together, these two tablets of commandments are related. They are connected. They're not a menu to choose from, but in fact are both important for the life God calls us to live. The command to faithfully worship God that we hear in the Ten Commandments leads us into proper love of our neighbor. Through our worship of God, the love of God fills us to overflowing and moves out from us to our neighbors. Having no other gods but God alone assures that we don't replace God with other things, with money or power or our love of our possessions. It means we won't be setting up idols that draw us away from our worship of God. Keeping the Sabbath reminds us that all of creation belongs to God. God created everything that is, and we are called to share in God's creative work by being faithful stewards of what God has made and setting aside one day each week for God. Honoring our father and our mother means we do not live in isolation. It is a call to living in community, in loving relationships with others. This reminds us that our actions affect others. How we behave matters. Our behavior is important for the well-being of the entire community. The command to not bear false witness tells us that the community is built up, is edified by truthful speech about our neighbors. It reminds us that words have power. Untruths can harm or even destroy the common good. The call to not take the Lord's name in vain invites within us attitudes of praise and thanksgiving to God. God's name is holy, and it is to be respected. And in being respectful, we are offering God our praise and our worship as an act of thanksgiving. Living this way is an antidote to living by anger or cynicism. In short, we ignore the Ten Commandments at our peril. I don't think so much because of fear of God's judgment, but instead because the commandments call us into a life that is holy, a life that is abundant. They lead us into the fullness of life that God intends for us. Rejecting the commandments is the way of death, of separation from God. While the ways of our world can seem attractive and even be seductive for us, their promises are fleeting and do not lead to deeper life with God. And so the commandments challenge the ways of our world. Capitalist society rests on coveting things, advertising preys on our desire of the things that we don't have, and seeks to instill in us a desire for them, a want for them. If we don't covet, we are rejecting the hold of our material possessions. We are rejecting the consumerism of our age. Keeping the Sabbath rejects our society's pace of life, of being so busy there is little time for rest or the worship of God. Perhaps one of the blessings in this pandemic time may be the call to remain at home and the opportunity it has given some of us to reassess what is most important in life, to remind ourselves what practices deepen our lives and which need to be abandoned. This may be a reminder of how we can best use the time that is our God-given gift. We are called to trust God, God who is faithful, God who makes covenant with us, and by the Ten Commandments leads us into the way of true life, to life that is rich and abundant, a life rooted in God. Lent calls us to journey in holiness, into deeper life with God. And we do so by examining the ways that we are not living the life that God intends for us, the ways that we stray from a life rooted in God, from a life that has worship of God and love of our neighbor at the center is our call in this season. Life centered on the love of God and of our neighbor as ourselves is our call as followers of Jesus. Jesus shows us how we are to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbors as ourselves. We see this in his life and ministry, as well as in his suffering, death, and resurrection. Rather than choosing between the Ten Commandments or the Gospels, in Jesus we see how they come together, how the Ten Commandments are contained in the Gospels, how Jesus, in fact, lives the Ten Commandments in his life and ministry. In today's Gospel, Jesus cleanses the temple, driving out those who are selling animals for sacrifices, as well as the money changers. They changed Roman money, money that bore the image of the emperor, into temple money, money that could be used to pay the temple tax. This system of taxation oppressed many who were poor, and Jesus comes to the temple and acts in a way to right injustice, but in a way that might be disturbing to us. He appears angry. He uses a whip to drive out people and animals. Jesus comes to trample the status quo, to challenge how things are, and he rejects the injustice of this world. While we might just assume things will never change, Jesus instead comes to the temple to institute change. Jesus' anger is kindled by the injustice of our world. And Jesus calls his followers to do the same. He calls us to a life of holiness that God intends for God's people, calling us to the worship of God, as well as to work to end injustice and the exploitation of those who are vulnerable. And so today's gospel, I think, invites us to ask some questions. Questions such as, how is Jesus calling us to be cleansed? What needs to be driven out of our lives? How have we faithfully lived the life of holiness to which Jesus calls us? How are we being challenged by Jesus to reject things as they are, that we might turn to the abundant life God offers us? And does the injustice around us provoke us to actively oppose and dismantle it? Lent calls us to live a life focused on God, on the one we are called to love with all our heart, mind, and soul, with all of our being. We are called to love God above all else. And loving God, we can't help but love our neighbor as ourselves. This way of love is the path that rejects the promises of this world and affirms the promises of God, those promises God makes in covenant with us, those promises which are trustworthy and true. God will never forget the covenant made with God's people. God is always faithful. God loves us always and shares with us the profound and the meaningful life of the Trinity. And so may we always say yes to this life, and may we follow Jesus in the way that leads to the abundant and eternal life that God intends for all of us. Amen.